Good evening and welcome to this week's rather doom-laden naked football show. Tonight we'll talk about Sunday, of course, unfortunately. We'll have views on Jim's backing by Marcus Evans and we'll look forward to the games with Bristol City and Cardiff. And as most of you will be listening on the podcast, you can ignore any predictions for the game tonight. We have a full studio tonight, and to help us in this unenviable quest, we welcome a naked virgin in the shape of regular contributor James Cummings.
Hello, good evening.
We welcome back our friend the Claw.
Hello.
And we also welcome Tan Fran Martin Simmons, whose excellent show Static Caravan, you try saying that when you're sober, follows on from this.
You're very rarely sober, I know, Grant.
Thank you. And that's where you've been, isn't it? That's why you're so late, I'm no doubt. I'll find out in a minute. And, of course, we welcome back Team Captain Phil Hamm.
Oh, hello.
So who wants to start on the debacle that was Sunday? Phil?
No.
You were there, weren't you?
I've had far too much experience of it. Anyone else first?
I just thought it was really, really average, and we lacked any kind of fighting spirit. We had nobody getting in the faces of Norwich. We didn't have our own Sammy Clinnan, like an Alan Quinn or an Alan Lee to spike it up. We just looked very, very disappointing on the whole. 90 minutes, there was nothing for me to.
The problem is, it was too similar to what we've seen so many times this season. I mean, if it was a one-off, you'd be a bit more philosophical, but it seems to be becoming a bit of a habit, what with Doncaster and Charlton and all the other games.
Yeah, our away record against the bottom teams is shocking, isn't it?
Someone did put some stats on the message board yesterday, and it's something like 1 point out of the last 8 games or something against teams in the bottom 3 or something.
Oh, we drew away to Forest. And drew away to Southampton, that's about it.
But we haven't beaten any of them. One point off Charlton, 2 games.
Yeah.
Lost to Norwich, of course. Lost to.
But I agree, I thought the most disappointing thing was just the kind of the lack of fight, really. It's like Norwich wanted it more than us, which.
I thought tactically. You consider the relative positions of the two clubs. We're supposedly. Pretenders. With, you know, having spent £12+ million on the squad, they're scrabbling around at the bottom of the table, scrabbling for, I think, 7 loan players.
Carl Court.
It's the same thing. It's just sort of, they're in that position we were when we were kind of getting the Tony Dinnings of this world on loan, aren't they? But we went into the game. You'd think in those circumstances, we'd go into the game almost as the home team, do you know what I mean? To take it to them, to really kind of. But we didn't. We sat back, we let them bring the game to us, with the game plan presumably being keep it tight, bring Danny Haynes on to run at them for the last half an hour. Well, that's what we were going to do, clearly, because Danny Haynes was ready and stripped and going when they scored on the hour mark, which kind of scuppered the plan. And as so often, we've got no other alternative. But, I mean, you know, why would we be. A club in our position be sitting back in those circumstances. We really needed to be more positive, didn't we?
Well, I mean, I'd be interested in your views, other people's views, but I can't make my mind up whether we've got some really good players who are just not, there's something missing, they're not quite playing together as they should for whatever reason, or whether we've just got a lot of players who actually aren't that good.
I think it's a lot of average players. I think as a chatting to Graham in the green room, you look at the amount of money that's been spent on every player and it's £500,000, £600,000 Stead, Jim Lukowski, Quinn, all of them cost the same. There's no real, you know, sort of £2 million player or you could add that extra bit of quality.
But what gets me, James, is we've got all the players we've got, they all have games when they look really, really good. I mean, I think Alan Garvin's a classic. Sometimes he looks so good, and he and I'm not picking on him because they're all much of a much as they have so many games when they're just anonymous. I mean, you don't expect them to be brilliant all the time, but they just don't seem to have enough good games between them, and I don't know why that is.
I mean, I think, you know, you look at go through the players in the squad, and individually you think, well, you know, he's a decent enough championship player.
Exactly.
He's a decent enough championship player, and really, someone should be moulding them into a team that is a decent enough championship team.
Yeah, but I think there's enough quality there for us to be.
So is it the tactics, or is it the motivation, or is it?
Who knows?
I just don't get the impression it's a particularly happy place. Players don't particularly chuff with life. There's all these kind of rumours of rows and fallings out and all that kind of stuff. And you just don't get the impression that it's particularly.
So do you think Jim's lost the dressing room, as
they say? Well, whether he's lost the entire dressing room or whether he's lost individuals, I don't know. But I mean, clearly, what he's telling the players to do isn't happening on the pitch, is it?
No,
and
is it a case of, say, too many cooks? Because we've now Don Howe's coming in for 1 or 2 days a week. Steve Foley, Brian Klug, Jim McGilton. You'll have a specialist goalkeeper coach. It's who are the players listening to? Is there one voice to say, no, we're going to do things this way for this particular game? And
is it
a direction issue?
I suppose that the coach, I mean, Don Howe came in for a couple of days, didn't he? But I don't think it's a kind of regular thing. But I think they all take kind of a session here and there throughout the week, and at the end of the week, Jim decides on his team and what he's going to do in the game, obviously with the guidance of the coaches.
I can't see Jim, from what we know of him, I can't see him not having things as he wants.
Jim is not going to hold back in putting his opinions over.
Hopefully he listens to other advice, but I'm sure at the end of the day he does what he wants to do because he's that sort of guy.
Yeah, I don't think the lack of confidence on the manager's part is an issue.
No, and I think that's another thing which is winding people up a bit at the moment, is that, you know, Jim doesn't, although he's quite honest after the match as to how he performed, you know, he kind of deflects a lot of flack from himself, I think, and, you know, he's absolutely insistent that his way is the right way to do it, even when the results on the pitch are suggesting it might not be. Reading a few of the message boards, I think people have, there was the interview he gave after the Norwich match, and people were kind of pulling it apart and you know, looking for I think it's just a bit more of an admission from him that maybe he needs to do things a different way.
Whatever he says, and obviously he has to say certain things, I should imagine he's quite worried in real life. He must be. I mean, he must be concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what these, you know, Marcus Evans backing is, you know, how strong that is or how secure Jim feels.
And he wants to win. I mean, he's that sort of guy, and he must be, well, we're frustrated and complaining, he must be just the same, and he can't come out and say that, but he must be wondering what to do.
I'm sure he is, but I think it's a stubborn streak in him as well.
Yeah.
And so he'll just continue to do things the way that he has been, even if maybe they could do with being changed slightly.
Mm. I mean, you know, since Sunday, I think there's been kind of that a major outpouring of kind of anti-Jim feeling, hasn't there, really? And to be honest, some of it has kind of got a bit nastier than I kind of would have imagined for a player like Jim, someone like Jim, who was a player of kind of such high standing, who, you know, scored that hat-trick and got us through to, and was a key man in the side that finished fifth. People are getting really quite nasty about him, aren't they? Don't you think? I mean, do you think a manager can come back when he's lost the crowd in the manner that Jim has seen?
Yes, I think he can. I think if any one of us, you know, had the finger on the button to sack him or press that magic button, I don't think anybody would, despite what we might sort of think after Sunday. But I think you still have to give him till the end of the season.
I think the next two games will be quite. I mean, we keep saying that, but I'm sure if we have two good wins, everybody will be a lot more cheerful.
Yeah, but until we lose the next game.
If we have two mediocre performances tonight and Saturday, I think it will get very, very tough.
Mm. I mean, you've got the factor at the moment of January looming, and if the owner of the club is going to sack a manager, other than at the end of the season, it's going to be in the weeks before Christmas, really, isn't it? Do you see it happening, or
no?
No,
I don't think he's going to get sacked this side of Christmas, do you?
But if you were Marcus Evans, would you give him another £3 million? Because I'm sure Jim will go, has probably gone to him already and say,
I'd probably give him to the end of the season, but not give him much more money to spend at this stage. I think if we have a big enough squad, a squad pretty much that he's chosen now. Given to the end of the season to work with that squad and prove that he can.
Yeah, or any incomings have to be funded by outgoings.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've got a big enough squad. We obviously need to offload a few players.
Mm. I mean, we've got to remember as well. There's a huge recession on, and Marcus Evans. We don't know much about his business empire, but one imagines the sort of things he does are actually very vulnerable to a recession. Yep. So he's probably not. He's probably sort of not as wealthy as he used to be.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, he has said that he will bring in players, or money. There is money to spend in January. Now, as you say, you don't know how much, and you don't know whether it's dependent on players going out. I mean, there are clearly areas of the team that need strengthening still, aren't there?
Yeah, but that's the point, though. And as Martin said, you know, we brought in enough. The amount of players he's brought in over the last year or so, we shouldn't really be saying things on there. If you want to be critical of Jim.
Oh, well, I mean, I think the striking issue is the kind of most striking thing, really, isn't it? That he spent the summer looking at a big target man, which, you know, Angelus, Harris-Dias, and
Cologne.
Novakovic. Yeah. Who I looked today has
scored loads of goals for some.
Yeah, he scored 10 goals in Bundesliga. He's about the fourth or fifth top scorer. Whereas Harris-Dias has scored once in 12 games in the second division in Germany.
Really?
But I suspect he's probably injured or not fancying it at that level. But it go for a kind of, you know, traditional, more traditional target man, and then on deadline day when we haven't signed any of those, signs John Stead, who isn't that kind of player.
Not
really, by any stretch of the imagination, which really is why we've got John Walters playing up front as that target man at Norwich. I think we desperately need someone in that mould. I mean, Amiobi, of course, is another one in that mould that we nearly signed.
Do you think we need that, or 20 goal a season?
We need someone who can score a goal. I mean,
I don't have anyone who looks like made double figures for the season at the moment.
Well, I guess that man was supposed to be Lisby.
Yeah.
Given his record at Colchester
on the team last year.
All the players we've got who have scored goals, Pablo, Stead, Lisby, Garth, and they've all got four or five each.
Mm.
There isn't somebody getting 9, 10, 11, 12, which we...
Yeah.
And they don't look like they're going to do anything different.
We've got a lot of players who look like they'll score 9, 10, 11, 12 at the end of the season, haven't we? Pablo's and people like that.
We need a Kevin Phillips.
I think Kevin, if we could have brought in Kevin Phillips in the summer, I think that would have been the best.
It would have been fantastic, because he's still a 20 goal a season man.
I still think it's partly that the front two's changing all the time as well. And there's no chance for a settled partnership to.
No, well, I suppose managers are always desperate for players to score goals, aren't they? And if you've got your front two who aren't scoring goals, you swap it around and bring someone else in, for them not to score goals.
Yeah, but maybe you decide which you think are the two who are most likely to work together and get you the best return. Don't persist with them, you know, sort of blindly for the whole season, but for four or five games at least.
I mean, to be fair, this is a conversation we've been having on message boards, not just the whole of this season, not just the whole of last season, but like before Jeffers came in on loan, we had that period when we didn't score in the whole of January or whole of February, whatever. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And we were saying we need a 20 goal season striker at that point, and however 20 months or whatever it is on, we've still not got one, have we?
See, you should change the subject a little bit. Not a suggestion, but Shevky Kuki.
Just going to mention
it. I know.
But having been said, he would never play a game for Crystal Palace while Warnock was the manager.
Warnock's still saying he's on his way out in January.
He's scoring every goal game, isn't he?
Has he scored something like 5 in 7 or
something like that? But anyway.
Well, it does happen when you decide against signing a player that he then goes on a major goal streak. Is there anything?
Yes, we got these came through during the week. Adrian of Berry, I'll read two of these because they're both fairly similar. One's from Stanley Unwin. I wish I could read it out like he does. Remember Stanley Unwin?
Amazing.
It'd be great to get him on the show.
One for all our listeners.
For our older listeners. Adrian from Berry. Despite everything, I don't feel we're too far away from a decent side. However, the rumours of more defenders and, heaven forbid, another midfielder coming in during the transfer window is worrying. Surely a goal scorer is a must, which is what you just said. And from Stanley himself, any chance of snatching Leroy Leiter off our rivals down the road? I know Jim said he wasn't interested, but we need someone like him in sooner rather than later. It would also bleep, bleep, bleep them off.
Yeah, that's true. I like Leeds. I thought Leeds
played really well. He looked good on Sandy. Strong as well, and he powerful.
He had the most dangerous strike on the pitch.
And
a good eye for injuries as well.
Very well spotted by him. You have to admire. You have to take your hat off.
Not a cheek of a youngster.
Huckabee's hat off to that.
See a spot on the 100 places.
Leeds tried right a lot. I mean, talk about all these kind of stories about midfielders coming. I mean, you know, I suspect there probably would be midfielders coming, because it's probably largely midfielders are going to be on their way out.
But it does seem
we've got kind of, I say, 8 senior midfielders or whatever at the moment, I would expect one or two of them to go. I mean, Mr. Campo, for example, I can't exactly see him staying. And maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think now.
Who else do you think we've got? Miller, Quinn?
Miller's a possibility, isn't it, I think. because he's not getting in the first team, and he's reached that sort of, what is he, 28, 29?
At least.
Are we going to hang on to Ambrose? I'd like us to, personally.
But. I think we need to persist with Ambrose. I don't think much.
Can I read out another one?
Yeah,
what, as you've gone on to Ambrose, this came in last week.
That would be our choice.
From Ian, what's the position with Dan Ambrose, in brackets, Phil, question mark?
Yeah.
Could a new manager at Charlton put the Mockers under signing him permanently?
I don't know, really. I mean, I can't imagine that Charlton would let him go without sort of some suggestion that we're going to sign him permanently, because they're so broke. So, you know, they're not going to allow us to stab him for kind of nothing, really, are they? I think there's got to be some serious suggestion clubs are always a bit sort of shady about saying whether they've signed players on an emergency loan basis with a view to kind of a deal that's already been done, because they don't want to kind of scupper this emergency loan business, and the EU aren't keen on it. So I would expect that there are sort of, you know, perhaps gentlemen's agreements in place regarding that, but we'll see. But up to now, I mean, I haven't been massively impressed. I don't know about you.
I haven't thought it's been much of an upgrade on Quinn so far.
I thought he put a couple of good balls in Sunday. I was a bit disappointed.
One early on, yeah.
Yeah, he put a couple of good crosses out.
Yeah, that's the one thing, isn't it? He could be anonymous for lots of the game, but he can swing some decent crosses in, which no one else can do.
That's the point, yeah.
That's he's another Darren Curry in that almost respect.
Yeah.
Anonymous for 89 minutes and then one killer ball to, you know, a striker who we don't have.
That's right.
To put it in the back of the net.
That's true. I mean, I suppose that's...
But more pace than Curry, though.
Yeah, but less movement than Quinn, and I think we perhaps have missed Quinn's kind of up and down, up and down,
he's
up and down.
He's a bit more action, he's energetic, he gets in the faces, doesn't he?
He's a kind of derby. You could see him doing well in a derby. Well, he's actually the only player to score for Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday in the derby, isn't he?
He's another one. I mean, he's had some awful games, hasn't he, Phil? I mean, I know he's had some good games as well, but that's what I was saying a bit earlier. I mean, he's given away a few stupid goals as well. You know, obviously there was a penalty against Sheffield. Yeah. There was a couple of games where he got caught arguing about free kicks, and, you know, well, that's happened twice. And Preston, there was another game quite recently, you know. So he's, but yeah. Other times he does look a very good player, and I don't know.
What did he make of central midfield on Sunday? Because I thought they Garvin and Szymanowski didn't really work.
No, they didn't have a lot of bite.
Midfield. They'd much rather see Norris in the middle. I personally would go for Garvin and Norris in the middle. I like Szymanowski, but I think at the moment I wouldn't have him in a starting 11. I think Walters is much better on the right than up front.
I think that is a difficulty. I think Jim was wanting to accommodate Walters and Norris at the moment, which is why Walters is partly why, I've already said another reason why he's up front, but that's probably part of why he's playing up front, because he wants Norris to play wide right, so he can accommodate then in turn Szymanowski, who's done quite well as the holding. He's trying to get players into the team,
that's
isn't
the trouble. And I mean, again, I think Walters isn't really having a good season, is he, for whatever reason?
I don't think so, no.
You know, he doesn't look. I mean, he's worth his place, but he's not.
Even when he has been playing well, he's always been better on the right.
I think that's true.
But he's lost something, to say, for whatever reason.
Well, he's been a bit found out, I think, partly, you know.
Well, yeah. And then there's all the talk about him leaving and.
Which I still think
he's had a few injuries, so, you know, but he's not got that. I mean, this time last season he'd scored, well, 8 or 9 goals, and obviously got 2 this year.
Something like that.
Second season blues, is, you know.
Well, there's an element to that.
We found out, you know, a long time ago.
There's a definite element to that. I mean, I suppose the other thing is he missed a lot of pre-season as well, didn't he?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, that often takes a lot of time for people to get back from.
Had the odd head injury, as we keep alluding to.
Well, he wasn't wearing a bandage on Saturday. That was probably the key to the whole thing.
That's probably why.
Jim, any other?
Jim Leggett. This is back to Norris, really. I was listening to the Radio Norfolk broadcast on the internet. In brackets, the ITFC broadcast was not available. The commentator said that considering the £2 million paid for Norris, it was a pity that he was not performing to the level he played for at Plymouth. Why do you think he's not playing well? Is he playing out of position, which is pretty much what you've tried to suggest?
Well, I mean, he actually played right midfield for Plymouth. There seems to be this sort of myth that he played central midfield. Generally, he played right midfield. I mean, he's one of these players who they've played at various points at various times. But he's had some really good games, hasn't he? Particularly lately.
I think so, yeah. He didn't play particularly well Sunday, but as you say, I don't think that's true to say he's been playing poorly.
He started slowly because he had an injury, didn't he? And I think that perhaps kind of gave... He started off on the wrong foot, as it were.
Wrong heel.
He certainly ought to be in the team, I think.
I don't think there's any question.
Most of us would say he's an automatic choice, given the other
Yeah, I think that's absolutely
true. But I'd have him in the middle just because he's more all action, energetic, up and down.
Yeah, I can understand that entirely. I think
play better alongside him than alongside Schumi at the moment.
I'm surprised we've got emails coming in. Actually, I thought they should all be in the pub. Why aren't you in the pub, you lot?
They're probably emailing from the pub.
They probably are.
At redlion.com.
In which case, this is Tony from a pub in Leicester. This is in text speak, so you'll have to forgive me. I'm not really up with this. I blame the players, not Jim, for the appalling performance on Sunday. Of course, they're going to be bad vibes about the club because we're underperforming. Now is the time to get behind both Jim and the team. Sacking him isn't the answer. The reaction of the fans is way over the top every time we lose. Tony and Leicester. A lot of people agree with that, I think.
Well, I mean, Phil's been saying that some of the reaction's been over the top. Mm. I think we're perfectly entitled to criticise. But I think some of the criticism has gone over the top.
I can understand entirely why people are critical, though, because we have had so many games that have been kind of a bit like how Sunday was. Pretty much the Sky ones, most notably, that are probably the only away games a lot of people see.
I mean, we haven't really had that many good performances at all, have we?
No.
I thought the Reading game was very good. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
We haven't strung any together, have we? One step forward and like one and a half back.
I think that's exactly what people see.
And there's a big expectation with the money and with all the number of signings we've had and so on that something's going to happen.
And it
doesn't look like it's going to at the moment. That's why people are angry or frustrated, I think, more. The mood would change very quickly. If we won 3 or 4 on the bounce, suddenly Jim would be the best thing
I don't know, really. Would it? Because we did win 2 or 3 in a row a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, well, you know.
Plymouth and Blackpool were back to back.
We've
never won 3 in a row, I think, ever under Majorque.
What I meant was we had a good phase where we kind of won more than we lost. And you know, people start to think, oh, we're going in the right direction. I think, you know, there was this general feeling that the team was starting to gel, as the time-honoured phrase goes.
One defeat in 7 or something like that. A few draws.
And it looked like we were doing all right. And Charlton, you know, we had the Charlton draw in amongst 3 other wins, wasn't it? And we really should have beaten Charlton. And everyone thought we'd turned the corner. And so all the kind of Jim out stuff did kind of quieten for a bit. And then we had the Doncaster game.
Then
Sheffield United, where, you know, a lot of people questioned the substitution late on and whatever, and the fact we threw away another one goal lead with 5 minutes to go, and then Sunday, I think it's brought it all back. So I think it'd be quite difficult for Jim to turn things around, really, with the supporters.
I mean, I think a start would be to win these next 2 home games.
Yeah.
Because we're starting to slip away from the playoffs, actually. If we win tonight, we're now 4 points behind, and so, which is more than, obviously, one round of games. If we don't win today and Saturday, we could start, it could gap 6-7 points, and it starts to look, given the number of teams involved as well.
That's it, there are teams between us and the playoffs.
There's so many teams who will fancy their chance if they have a good run.
I mean, one thing that no one really has sort of talked about, well, not in these terms anyway, is Marcus Evans being kind of backing Jim. Now, normally when you get a kind of owner who comes into a club and a manager doesn't win about 3 games in a row, they fire him and bring in someone of their own choice. Whereas Marcus Evans has actually shown patience that really you very rarely see in football these days, I think, anywhere, regardless of whether they're kind of a football man, in inverted commas, or someone who's just come in from the outside like Marcus Evans has. I mean, I think that's actually kind of, although people might not necessarily want Jim in the job at the moment, the patience that Marcus Evans is showing is a positive.
Commendable, yeah. More owners should be like that, for sure.
Okay. Here's one for any philosophers or psychologists in the studio. This is from Steve in Sweden, so we'll let him off not being here. Hopefully he's in a pub in Sweden. Right, linear strategy stakes out your plan in advance and sticks to it through thick and thin. Iterative strategy works in loops. New information gained through execution of strategy is incorporated into future planning. Which strategy do you think Jim uses?
Chaos theory.
We used to play triangles, not loops.
That's true. triangle theory.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, because I think I kind of the linear theory seems to be Jim's, that he's not, I just, doesn't seem to be incorporating much new evidence into his thinking.
Yeah.
All right. Here's, oh God, it's someone from. We've got more emails in now, and they're all supposed to be in the pub than we have normally. This is weird. Vinny, my ex-neighbour, I know him. He was on the country's most violent pubs on Sky.
Was he?
Yeah.
What, he is a pub?
He is a pub, yeah. He's probably in that pub. I won't say what it was.
We were crying
for a 20 goals a season striker in the summer. What do we get? Kevin Lisby. And another year for Dean Burgett, who hasn't even played this season.
Well, there you go.
Pretty much covers it.
Covered already, really. Yeah.
Covers it, yeah.
Any idea what's happened to Jordan Rhodes?
He's in the reserves.
Scoring goals, probably.
We haven't played a lot of reserve games, have we? Because they had a friendly.
No, I haven't seen any.
Who did they have a friendly with last week? Tottenham. And they won 1-0 and Lisby scored. But other than that,
right. That's a good question. Our final email, I think, because that's all we've got time for.
Well, they've had a lot of reserve games off.
And I think this one pretty much sums up how we can solve all these problems. From Stephen Smythe. Here's an idea to improve the performance of the team. Stop playing in front of the cameras.
That's true.
Yep.
He's from Leafy, Buckinghamshire. I've not seen ITFC play well on TV. It's only when I get to Portman Road that something resembling a game exists. We'll get down here then.
I've got emails from various people around the world who only ever get to see town when they're on television. And I emails them saying, God, we're dreadful, aren't we?
Why do you support that team?
Because because they only see the Sky games when, you know, because there have been good games this season. Not that many I can think of, but we've not been as bad generally as we have on Sky, have we?
You're only like 3 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Or Tuesday night, 7:45.
We've had it this evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do a quick prediction for tonight. Not that it'll matter after everyone's listened to the show tomorrow,
but do both
predictions. Do you want to start round the table, Martin? Two predictions. That's tonight and Saturday.
Oh, blimey. I think we'll win tonight. I'll go for a 2-1 tonight and probably a draw on Saturday.
Oh, James.
4-1 tonight.
What?
Who to?
I thought you weren't drinking before.
I'm not drinking before the show. No, I'd be positive. Let's go for 2 wins. I think travelling will take it out of both of them. It's a long way to come from Bristol and Cardiff. So 2 wins. 4-1 and 2-1.
I'll agree with Martin. I think 2-1 tonight. Saturday, yeah, probably 1-all, 2-all perhaps. Tough game Saturday.
Yeah. Obviously his name's not Bothroyd's out, isn't he, for them on Saturday? Yeah, so that's quite crucial, I think. I can see us kind of. It'll either be we'll sort of win 1-0 or we'll let a goal in the last 5 minutes again tonight, and probably almost exactly the same on Saturday, I think.
So you're going for a sort of a win and a draw, probably?
In both games. Yeah.
Most 6-0.
Four points in both games?
I can't see us scoring six.
And how about you, mister?
Well, I'm pretty much like Phil. I can't see us winning 2 on the bounce for some reason. So I could see us winning maybe tonight and then drawing on Saturday.
Yeah.
But not going to be good enough, I don't think, is it, really?
And the general Jim forecast is that he's going to still be in a job on January the 1st, is it?
I think he'll be here till the end of the season.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you should be.
Probably. I mean, we don't really know what Marcus Evans, you know, it's such a mystery man. I don't know.
We can only go by the public pronouncements and they've all been supported.
I don't know.
Do you know something we don't know?
No, I don't know. I just kind of wonder, you know, you do get to a point with a manager, don't you, where I think people are starting to think. Most people, I think, were behind Jim when he was manager and were hoping for him to do fantastically well. But I get the feeling over the last few weeks people who are big supporters are more quizzical about whether the whole project is on the right track.
Not quite sure where it's going.
Mm. Yeah. And I would be surprised if Marcus Evans wasn't of the same feeling.
Ooh.
Exactly.
And on that contentious statement, thank you James, thank you Claude. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Phil. Till next week. Have a good one, everyone. Enjoy the game tonight. Bye-bye.
Bye.